Morning. I think the opening song service was picked very well. You know, you start paying attention to the words, can really speak life into you. I'd like to thank you guys for having us. It's good to come down from Chattanooga. It's good to wake up a little earlier. I was talking to some people about waking up early. You know, you get up and you get to see what the life's like at 8 a.m., and it's a beautiful drive down for us. For titles today, as we dive right in today, I got a title for you. It's called "There's a Harvest Coming." Believe that. For you note takers, I'll repeat again: "There's a harvest coming." Believe that. It's my hopes today that I don't have a huge message. I don't have a lengthy message. I don't have a lot of scriptures. I know that I've been putting you guys through a scripture spree when I come down. I like to get the Bible moving and get the pages turning. But I don't have a lot of scriptures today. But what I hope to do is to drive in a point that I think we can all reflect upon, that I can reflect upon, that I've been working on in my life, something that I need to drive into myself. I hope that we can drive in that point together. Let me start by asking this. Are you frustrated? Sounds like a silly question, but are you frustrated? Are you sick and tired? Are you sick and tired of certain people in your life? Now bear with me as I go through this. It could be a parent. It could be a child. A son and daughter. It could be a mate. I don't have a mate, so I don't have this issue right now, you know. Could be a close friend. It could even be someone you work with. Or maybe it's not even a friend at all. It's just somebody who comes and talks to you occasionally, and they seem to feel the need to converse with you and share things that's going on in their lives because they feel like you can help or that you care enough to listen. Whoever it may be, can you get frustrated at times or sick and tired of certain people? People that are close to you that just don't seem to get it. Sometimes it just seems like they don't seem to care enough to change. That's what we're called to do. No matter what you say, no matter what scripture you give them, you can give them the whole book. You can impart all the wisdom that you've learned. They just don't seem to get it. It doesn't sink in for them. They don't seem to produce any change. Or maybe they do for a few weeks at a time, but it's not long lasting. I will say this, only God does the calling and the transformation. Yeah, only He can do that. But there's a scripture in Romans 15:1, you can just jot this down. It's not the critical scripture that I'm going to get to later. But it said, those who are strong ought to bear the burdens of the weak. Those who are strong ought to bear the burdens of the weak. But these people we care about in our lives, the people that are close to us, the people who are suffering, that you see suffering, could be your mate, like I said, your friends, close friends, your children. You want a change so badly for them because you care, right? You care. You have a genuine care. I'm not referring to people whose business is to get into other people's business. I'm referring to people who genuinely care about people. Okay? There's a difference there. People who care about these people because they want them to experience a peaceful life. A more happy life. A more successful life. I know that's what my parents want for me. They want me, they care, and they continue to care for me because they want me to be successful. But at times, it's the same old story. Sure is, isn't it? Sometimes. Easy to think like that. Bear with me. It's the same old story, just a different day. The frustration. The hair pulling. Being weary. Sick and tired. Throw your hands up in there and you think to yourself, what's the point? What's the point? Have you been on the receiving end of a phone call or been in a conversation face to face to someone and you think to yourself, here we go again. I hope I'm not the only one who thinks like this. I got a long way to go, but here we go again. Hey, buddy, I know you said for me not to be angry all the time, but yeah, I got angry again. Whoops. Hey, friend, I know you said, or hey, mom and dad, or whoever, I know you said for me not to go and click on those websites, but unfortunately, I accidentally went there. Oops, I happened to steal again. Excuses. They start piling up. Whoops. Hey, friend, I'm so sorry. I lied to you. You start shaking your head. Hey, buddy, I know you told me to have my chin up. Stop being so negative and be positive. But I'm sad. Hey, mom and dad, this is one that I went through when I was younger. Hey, mom and dad, you got an extra $100? I'm sure they shook their heads over and over with me. You got an extra $100? Friend, I know you told me not to do drugs, but I got really low this week, and I needed something to take the edge off. Have you heard this? I know. You're right. I know I've said that to my parents. They start coming, they start talking to me, and I say, I know. Let me stop you. I know, right? And I'm not making light of these situations. Don't take me as I'm making light of any of these situations. They're very serious problems. They sure are. They're serious problems plaguing the church and plaguing this world, starting from the enemy, coming from the enemy. And they need to be seriously addressed. They really do. There needs to be some help. But if you receive these phone calls, or you've been on the other side of that conversation, people you care about, okay? You've been on the other side of that conversation for the 1,100th time. You almost begin to lose it. It starts getting comical at times. You start laughing like, really? You've got to be kidding me. SMH is a term they use these days, the kids use, called shake my head. If you've been on the other side of that, start to shake your head. You start to almost pull your eyes out. Like, here we go again. What's the point? You know, because you've been working hard. You've been working and you've been toiling in this spiritual ground for this person, whoever it might be. You've been toiling for as long as you can remember, trying to make this ground into something usable. Tirelessly, you work the soil. We work that soil over and over, taking the plow, trying to make this ground suitable so that the seed right here, the Word of God, can be spoken into their lives. Blood, sweat, and tears fall onto the ground from you. It sure does. And you spread the seed. You spread the Word of God, buckets and buckets of Word from the Bible to this person you care about. But no root, no plant, no growth, no nothing. Maybe something does happen. maybe something does sprout, but as we're familiar with the parables and the gospel of Jesus Christ, it may take sprout, but it had fallen on the rocky soil or the thorns and the bushes, and it doesn't. It comes up for a while, but then it goes away. And there you are again, frustrated, weak, tired. You're sick of it. You really are. And I mean, you and I, we are ready for a harvest, aren't we? To see something, we're ready for that harvest. Prayer after prayer after prayer, cries after cries after cries, hoping where there is no hope for a reasonable person, but we're not like the world. Days turns into months, into years. What's the point? Why? Why keep on helping somebody like this? Why? Why not just become emotionally disconnected? Just on the other side of that phone call, yep, okay, yeah. Yeah, you got angry again. Okay, yeah. Yep. Okay. All right, see you for dinner. Bye. After all, they could care less, right? It seems that way. They could care less. They could care less about you and how you feel. And the trial and the hurt they're sending you through. Why waste another breath, another action of kindness and thought on them? Now, this is where I stop for a second and I throw out a disclaimer. I am really not I'm not really that harsh of a person, okay? I'm not that uncompassionate. I do believe that the measure of mercy we give to others, it's the same mercy, the measure of mercy we will receive. I do believe that. Yeah, I believe I can be a little more patient. Sure. I think we all can be. And I do realize this. I believe we're all in different seasons. We're all in different seasons in our spiritual lives. Some of us are in the seasons of growth and worship where we're just growing. We're diving into the Word. The Word's flowing in us. We're growing. We're living that way of life with some hiccups here and there. There are seasons of trials for people. Yeah. We read the announcements, and we know, as we share to each other, some of us might be in seasons of trials. And then there are seasons of just being in neutral, not really going anywhere, not really gaining any traction. And I realize this, because sometimes you might be in a season of growth and you can get frustrated and weary on somebody else because you want what's best for them. But then sometimes you become that person who others are becoming frustrated at and weary. Kind of just flows here and there. So I'm not really that harsh. I'm not really that compassionate. Seasons of our lives can last a little longer than we'd hope for at times, unfortunately. Plus, you know, if my parents were here, Mr. Cloudis knows them very well, Mrs. Cloudis, you can ask them if at times that they were not frustrated or growing weary of me as I was younger. And hopefully they've seen a little growth and reaped a little harvest of their labors. But that's not anything to do with anything we did, but that's only through God. And give him the credit for what he's done. So I say all this to say that I'm not angry, I'm not a uncompassionate person. But I went through all this to share something with you that happened to me this week as I was preparing. I had something else that I was going to cook up and prepare, and then something happened, and you know, I really had to address it because I personally like to share things that go on in my life, hoping that for one or two or three people in the audience that it might apply to them, or whoever hears this message. That's just my style, and that's what I get passionate about, because as I'm going through these times, as I'm frustrated and weak, I'm sure there are other people out there who are just as tired and weak and frustrated as me. So this week, I'm sitting in my cube, and I get a phone call. And, you know, before I see it, I'm just thinking to myself, oh, here we go. Here we go again. I already knew what was going to be said to me. I don't need to go into the basics. But basically, after that phone call, I'm sitting there in my queue. I'm just kind of, I'm not upset. I'm not angry. I'm not super sad. I'm just sitting there just kind of aloof, like, this is unreal. This blows my mind. That's just what I'm saying to myself. I mean, and then it starts to sink in, and you start to feel frustrated, weak. Like, here we go again. It's the same old story. But then something really hit me. And it really hit me hard. I believe it's from God. I sure do. If you have your Bibles, let's turn to Galatians 6:9. Let me share with you what hit me. Some of you might be a couple of steps ahead of me, but let's read this together. Galatians 6. I'm going to read it out of the New King James first, and then I'm going to transition over to the NLT. I like how it's said there. I'm not saying that one version is better than the other. Galatians 6. Starting in verse 9, let's read. And this is what hit me. And this is what I'm hoping will hit you, those who are weary, those who are tired and sick. And I hope this gives you some hope. I hope this gives you some motivation. This is what was driven into me. This is what I'm hoping I can drive into some of you. Starting in verse 9, it said this. And let us not grow weary. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap. We shall reap if we do not lose heart. Going on, it says, therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And that really hit me. It just came into my mind, this scripture, as I was sitting there frustrated, weak, and as the scripture says, weary. Scripture says, do not grow weary in doing good, because in due season you will reap. That's what I'm going to drive home today. In the NLT, it says this. So let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time. At the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. And I'm ready for that. And I'm ready for a harvest of blessing. I sure am. I think some of us here are as well. If I had not come to that scripture, I would have missed out on that hope that the scripture gives us. It said the Bible, the Word of God says that there is a harvest coming to those who do not lose heart. You will reap. My point today is to not grow weary. That there is a harvest coming for you. I'm not sure how it's coming. I'm not sure when it's coming. But I believe in this Word of God that is written here for us, that there is a harvest coming. You might grow weary and frustrated of your mate or your son and child. They seem to be wrapped up in a destructive behavior. They seem to be in and out of this world. And their life's a mess. And it's sad to you. And you hurt for them. But there is a harvest coming for you if you do not lose heart. There is a harvest coming. Do not grow weary. You might have a close friend wrapped up in an addiction. I don't know what's going on. I'm just using hypotheticals. You might have a close friend from your childhood. I don't know. And they're wrapped up in some serious problems. They're going through a season of trials. And you hurt and you cry with them. And you're sad. But there's a harvest coming. There's a harvest coming if you do not lose heart. And you will reap. We will reap together this harvest. And those people that you might not really consider friends, that for some reason they think you are something special, which we're all special people, they share their lives with you, and they think you care, and you keep on giving them the word of life, and you're trying to give them hope and give them direction as God has blessed you with an understanding. There's a harvest coming for that if you do not lose heart. Do not grow weary. It's easy to. It's so easy to grow weary in this world. It sure is. But you have to use wisdom. Let me say this. If you're in danger in a situation, I'm not sure anything, you know, I don't know anything that's going on, but if you're in a danger situation, sometimes the right thing is to leave. But you have to use wisdom. 2 Thessalonians 3. Second Thessalonians 3, verse 13. It just drives the point in further. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 13. Because after a while of doing good and you don't seem to see any fruits of your labor, it gets hard to continue doing good. But the Bible admonishes us to not grow weary in doing so. Nehemiah 6, and the thing about Nehemiah, as you start turning there, Nehemiah 6, I've went through this chapter, this whole book, and I hope to put together some sort of series of messages. I know I'm a little too early in my career to be putting together series, but I really like the book in Nehemiah as I went through it. I think there's a lot of great parallels, and I hope in the next coming year or so that I can put together a series for this, if God allows that, and really drive in this whole story of Nehemiah. But the one part I want to focus on today is something that we have to be aware of. In Nehemiah 6, verse 3. To give you a little backstory over here, Nehemiah has been given into his heart by the Spirit of God to go rebuild Judah, Jerusalem, to build the gates back up after they just went into captivity. And so he's about doing this, fixing the gates and rebuilding the walls. And Sanballat is the enemy in the book. Sanballat and his gang of misfits want nothing else but to stop Nehemiah from doing something. And Nehemiah, you know, they said to give you a little more backstory, Sanballat and his gang of goons wanted Nehemiah to come down and meet him at some neutral location so they can attack him because they want to kill him, Nehemiah. But Nehemiah responds with this. He sent messengers to them and said, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? The cunning, the slippery, the slimy serpent, the enemy, wants nothing else but to stop what you're doing, especially if it's producing good fruit, or at some time in the future it will produce something good. He wants you to grow weary. He wants you to put down your tools, this word. He wants you to put it down, Come down. Stop. Stop doing good. You have every right to. This is a hard work. You need to calm down. You can't keep up this pace. Lay it down. Come down. Let's talk. You care about these people? The people that you care about and that you're praying and crying about each and every day, hoping for a harvest? They need you to continue going on. They need you to keep on building and carrying them. Because at one point, sometime, I don't know when, I don't know how, but there will be a harvest. I know I've said that a lot, but I want you guys to have hope, and I need hope too. I really do. But there is a harvest coming. Keep on building. Now, Psalms, here we go. In the book of Psalms is a really beautiful scripture, almost really speaks to you. It really does. Psalms 126, starting in verse 5. Psalms 126, verse 5. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Well, your sheaves will be full, my friends, because there is a harvest coming. There is hope. Those tears you shed, those prayers that go up to our Creator, out of the right heart, you will sow. I will sow. We sure will. And there will be great rejoicing. That's why the scriptures are here for us, right? The scriptures are here for us to be renewed. When there is nothing else to hope for in this dark world, you come back into the Word of God and you find your strength. And you find it to continue going on. There's healing there. And then, another thought hit me. Okay, so we're still with me at my place of employment. Another thought hit me. And I'll share it with you. Doesn't God and our Christ, our King, have every right to be sick and tired of me? So it's a question you can only ask yourselves. But I can ask you for myself. I know in my life I've given enough grief, enough problems to my Creator and my Lord and Savior that they would have every right to just grow weary and sick and tired of old Jacob. I know that. I know that I've gone to him time after time after time. Sorry, God. Whoops. Whoopsies. I didn't mean to do that. I'm weak. Excuses after excuses. He heard it. He has heard it all from me at one point or another. But the fact that he nevertheless continues doing good to me, I mean, I can't even understand. I mean, we've given him a lot of grief. I have given him a lot of grief. I'm not going to speak for you, so I take that back. I know that I've given him enough to worry about, enough to get sick and tired about. But yet he continues. His mercies are bountiful. Isaiah 40, verse 28. Isaiah 40, verse 28. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures here. He gives power. Who? God. God gives power to the weak, to the weary. to the helpless. And to those who have no might, he increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God does not grow weary with us. And he is going to give you strength. Those who wait on him, those who hope on him, whose strength is him, in your times of trials, when you are sick and tired of that person, whoever he or she might be, he will give you strength. Jeremiah 29. Another comforting scripture for me. Hope it is for you. 29 verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's how he thinks of us. When he would be weary and sick and tired of us, the number one thought in his mind is our future. Is good. God works in harvests. He really does. Signified by the holy days that we keep, starting with the spring, the summer, the fall that we're about to approach here. God works in harvests. He's always working the ground, sowing and sowing seed and hoping to receive something. His earnest desire is to harvest good, us, people. He hopes these fall holy days to harvest many sons and daughters into his family. He sure does. And he will. And that harvest is going to be truly a great harvest. As Christ has said in the Bible, this harvest is going to be so big and so magnificent that there might not be enough laborers for it. But he's going to harvest. All his labor of love and his labor of long suffering for us, he's going to harvest something. He will reap. And just like you and I, like where I started today, you and I, all our frustrations, all our tears, all our heartaches, all the pain, all the times of weariness we go through in hopes of the people we care about most coming to life and having a life of peace and understanding. That, the suffering that we go through for those people, there is a harvest coming. Those tears will turn into tears of joy for us. Tears of happiness. It sure will. And I look forward to that. I really do. I need a harvest. I know some of you guys do too. In the meantime, as we wait for this harvest, for our reaping, do not grow weary. Do not. When there's no reason to continue or doing good, do not grow weary. As we go back to Galatians 6:9, I'm just going to read it as I draw to a close today. Just really fired up about this. All right? I'm just fired up about this. 6:9 says, So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we do not give up. We need a harvest. And it's time. It sure is time not to give up at this time. Not to grow weary, but to continue in your worship of your Creator, your great God, and your King by continuing to do good to others and not growing weary. There is a harvest coming. Believe that.